catching that humor there. But, you know, it is a joy to carry out the mission, to lovingly confront people with their need of Jesus Christ. And everybody that's gotten up and talked about ministry is doing that. Brother Ellis, they're doing it in the military, okay? The Pelletiers are going to be in San Francisco doing that. We're doing that at camp. Compassion's doing that with sponsored children who are confronted with their need of Jesus Christ. And so I just rejoice that I'm in a ministry that is all about that. Lovingly confronting people with their need of Jesus Christ and seeing what God will do for them and through his word in their life for his glory. And so some things about camp, update on the staff. Our family is growing. Lori and I celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary this week, and that's why we're in Nevada. We were in Salt Lake area just having some time, the two of us, and I'm rejoicing that she is still with me after 25 years and hasn't thrown me out when I've had some of those wrong reactions. And a joy to see our family in ministry, our son Philip and his wife Adriana. And yes, the rumor's out, but it's true. In the end of July, we're going to have a grandbaby. And they are going to be on our staff as interns and starting in June. So they're going to be with us for 15 months. We're rejoicing in that. And then our daughter, Ellie, is going to be a junior at Maranatha Baptist University. And she is going to be on staff this summer working in the program team. Our third child, Gannett, is going to be a freshman at Maranatha Baptist University in the fall. And he is a lifeguard and a first aid trainer. And so he's going to be helping us at camp, training our staff in those areas. And he works for the local aquatic center. And so that's what's going on with him. And then our youngest, Isaac, who you saw there at the end with the sunglasses, we had him sit down because he's 6'4 now and 220 pounds, and so I'm kind of dwarfed by that. But I know Pastor Young understands because I saw Jonathan's been taking and eating the same thing that Ike's been eating, and they're both getting very tall. But that's our family. The McGills are doing well. Send their greetings. I just want you to know as a church, a way you bless them that just was over the top for them. Just a month ago, your church sent a gift specifically for some vehicle repair, and they were in no place to do that. And I got the check right before a staff meeting and went into the staff meeting and shared with them that God had answered that prayer that we had been praying for as a team. And so they just rejoice in that. So thank you for that. Thank you for your part in encouraging that way. And they are excited about what God's going to be doing with them in their areas of ministry at camp. Deirdre runs the Higher Grounds Coffee Shop, and Dick is in charge of our vehicle and equipment maintenance and works with Dave on the grounds. And then the Highbores, we actually saw them yesterday. They were down in Salt Lake on Friday for a visit for Anna. Anna's surgery went well in January. And for those of you that know their family, Anna's leg was realigned in January because the ball on the hip was not formed properly. They realigned that and attached that, put a plate in her knee, and she's been in physical therapy, learning to walk again. She had compensated and learned to walk with her handicap and would swing her leg, and now her leg is lined up straight, and so they're trying to teach her to do that. And so that's what's going on with them, and they're excited about that. Wixie did almost give me a heart attack yesterday because I was in Sam's Club on 2100 South in Salt Lake and standing there pushing the cart, and my wife was right in front of me, and all of a sudden a woman's arms went around my shoulders. And then it was Wixie. So anyway, I was a bit alarmed, and she knew that I would not know how to respond in that, and so I didn't. But that's their family's doing well. We're excited about the summer, and the Highbores help us. And Dave's in charge of the buildings and grounds area, and then Wixie's in charge of our hospitality and keeping things nice. And so that's our team. And then we're excited about our summer team that's coming. And so let me just share real quickly some answers to prayer. Some of you men were at men's winter retreat, and we didn't have much snow. And we were asking you to pray for snow. The Lord gave us 18 inches the next week in one storm that allowed us to finish the last two youth camps with snow on the ground. And it was to the point where you could see dirt on the trail and grass coming through on the snow trail. And so we had to have snow, and God answered those prayers. 18 inches in one storm that helped us finish the camps out. And then we took offerings this winter during our winter camps for the tower completion. You saw the tower there. And to complete the tower, it's going to have a roof on it like a Forest Service observation tower. And it's also going to have a two walls, a climbing wall and a rappelling wall, so we can do climbing and rappelling right there on the campsite. And the money all came in for that with those offerings this winter during winter camps. And then I just rejoice to tell you that we have a work group coming from Brookside Baptist Church in Milwaukee. And they are bringing 28 people, and they're going to focus on that project so we can finish it. And we're excited about that. And then this next week, starting Tuesday, we are going to start the construction on the kitchen remodel with infrastructure, okay? And that's not exciting work, I know, but we just ask your prayers this next week. We'll be putting in another transformer on the campground and a 1,200-amp service to cover all the electrical needs that we need for that. And so you can be praying with us about that. We're also stepping through these doors on the kitchen remodel. And you won't see a lot of that during summer camp, but in the fall, we're going to start renovating the kitchen. That's a $60,000 project, and the Lord's brought in $37,000. And so we're just rejoicing in that. God's people have given in that, and we're able to do that. So the work's going to start in October. And we have a work group coming from Georgia, and they're bringing about 11 guys, and they're going to start working on that kitchen remodel. Then last winter, we raised money for a new snowmobile, and I know that there are folks in this church, the snowmobile, the Rubies are here, and that's a prime snowmobile in place, but a lot of people will say, what do you need snowmobiles for? Well, that's how we get in and out of camp in the wintertime, and so the Lord allowed us to buy a brand new one last season, and that was $10,500, and so that's a lot of money for those new ones, and I was in the office 2 weeks ago Monday, and the phone rang, and a gentleman on the phone said, I have a 2011 snowmobile that has 613 miles on it, and I was just at the Polaris dealership, and he told me that I needed to sell this to the Bible camp. And I said, that'd be great. But I don't have any money to buy it right now, but we would love to have it. And the reason it's such a good deal is it was $5,500, so $5,000 less, and it only has 113 miles more than the one we just purchased. And so it was a great blessing. So I knew that there's a lot of people giving to a lot of projects. And so the Lord just burdened my heart to send a text. So I just sent a text out to 20 guys and their families that have been involved in winter camp. And I can rejoice to say with you that in the last 2 weeks, we've raised $4,700 toward the purchase of the snow machine. And so we just have 900 more. And it's a specific project, and that's what God's done. And we're just rejoicing in that. Then I got some prayer requests for you. We need some additional men on our staff for the summer. And it's only 3 weeks away. And I have been in contact with some young men. Pray that God will bring us the ones we need for that. I'd also ask you to pray for safety next week as we work with the electrical company and an electrical contractor as we do this expansion on the electricity. It's a big job, and it's pretty safe, but we do have to expose the main line, and then they have to splice that line twice, and we have to expose it before they disconnect it. So that's got to be dug up, and some of you know Brother Jim Nix. He's coming to operate the piece of equipment, and this is really cool too. The piece of equipment has been donated to be used, and Lori and I are going to pick it up on our way back to Pinedale on this trip. So God is just orchestrating that, but we want God's safety, and so pray with us for his safety in the next 2 weeks. All that to be said, I am rejoicing that the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior, and that we can look in His Word and be challenged by it. Now, I have 3 pages of my notes, and some of you know me, and you're like, oh boy, 3 pages. But you should be encouraged, because my clock says that it's already, let's see, it says it's 5 minutes to noon here, so my clock says it's 5 to 1, okay? So, but I'd like you to do this with me, if you would. There's 6 points on my message. I'm just going to give you 3 of them. But I'm going to challenge you to listen to the 3 points and make a positive step to implement that this week in your life. Just ask God to encourage you. So turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And for sake of time, I'm not going to read the passage, but you're familiar with it. I'm going to look at verses 4. Philippians 4, 4 through 23. And I'm not going to touch on all of that, but I'm just going to look at those verses together. And as I told you already, and I probably should turn this on, the gentleman in the back will be happier then if I move around. I got it turned on there, finally. As you look at Philippians chapter 4, we see the apostle here writing, and he's challenging the believers. He's challenging them to do some things that don't seem like they're logical, okay? This is why. He's in prison, and he's writing to them, challenging them to do some things regarding their circumstances. So let's look at that together. Verse 4, you're familiar with it. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Now, can I challenge you this morning that because your Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, lives, because he lives, Christian, you can live in joy this week, okay? It's hard to live in joy when you have a flat tire, okay? I already said that. I'm just looking out there to see if this truck's sagging, okay? All right? But that's actually not my truck. That truck belongs to my son, okay? I was going to bring my truck to visit you, but my truck had a wheel bearing go out. And so I told my wife, I said, well, I got to fix this wheel bearing. And then the mechanic guy said, you know, I wouldn't just fix one. If one's bad, you ought to fix two. And then I wouldn't just fix the two of them. I'd also fix the center mount bearing that goes on the drive line, because I'm noticing that that's loose too. And then, by the way, they sell at Napa, they sell 2 grades of parts. They sell your standard part for $165. And then they sell your premium part. I'm not even going to give you the price of that one. And I wouldn't put on the standard one, because if you don't put on the premium one, you'll be back in 6 months to do this again. So that's what I had before me, all right? So my initial response to my wife was not joy, okay? But what I'm saying is, even in those things, okay? I just gave you a scenario from my life. Even in those things, Christians, we can rejoice because he lives. What can happen that would cause us not to rejoice? Think of Job. I've actually been reading Job this past week and reading chapters 40 and 41 in the study that I'm doing in the Bible. And Job, who God says to, hey, when you're strong enough to do all these things that I've done, then I'll say you can lift yourself up by your own arm. But our God is alive. And because he lives, you can rejoice this week no matter what the circumstance, okay? And it's not pie in the sky. In Sunday school, we were challenged by Brother Ellis about a testimony of someone that a neighbor noticed. And so my response and your response, Christian, of joy focuses on our Savior, because he is alive and he is in control, and you're not just hanging out there. He's got you in his hand. Secondly, look at the next verse, verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. In other translations, it renders it, let your reasonableness be known to all men. And be reasonable. And it's interesting, because why does he say to be reasonable? Look at what that last statement says. It says, the Lord is at hand. Okay, that's the imminent return of the Lord. And so my challenge to you, Christian, this week, as you live your life, first of all, rejoice, but secondly, be reasonable. If you got a problem going with your neighbor, Get it right. If you got a problem going with another church member, get it right. You know why? The Lord is at hand. That means God's coming back. And I don't know about you, but I was always frightened when I had my hand in the cookie jar and my mom turned on the kitchen light. Okay? The imminent return of your mother. The Lord is at hand, right? Okay? All right? That was always frightening to me. Okay? And not that we should live in fear of God, but you know what? We need to live right because He is coming back. Because He lives, He's coming back. And we can rejoice in that fact. And we need to. And we need to know that Jesus might return now. Do not be caught in conflict with others. Jesus might return now. Don't be caught in conflict with others. And, you know, it's easy even in our families. Okay? My sons are all, well, Gannett's as tall as me, and Philip and Ike are taller than me. Okay? So they do this new thing now. The three of them get around me, and they kind of hulk here, you know, and then one stands in front of me, and they say something like this, well, Dad, you know, I don't want to wrestle with them anymore, but I know that I need to keep those relationships right, even with them, because the Lord's imminent return is at hand. Next verse, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Because He lives, you can pray. Did you ever think about that? Some of us don't have that as a default. Okay? What do I mean by that? Okay, some of you know about computers. There are certain things you can set as defaults. And that's what happens. Because it's set that way, it happens. But you know what? Christians, our prayer lives shouldn't be defaults. Just set that way because it happens. It should be communication with our Savior because He lives. He cares. It's interesting, too. It says, be careful for nothing. I won't preach on that a long time, but what's it mean? Not choosing anxiety. Not being anxious. Ever been anxious about something? Okay? I'm a little bit anxious about this grandpa thing. All right? My wife's like totally embraced it. But it's a little hard for me because that means I'm married to a grandma. You know? It's like, how'd that happen? Brother Pelletier was talking about being married to the love of his life, his high school sweetheart, you know? And then now they've gone through life together and here we are, you know? But you think about living in anxiety. It's interesting, too. Being anxious means to be pulled in different directions. I've only experienced that one time. And that's when my children were younger and we were in a amusement type park, like a Disneyland, and everybody wants to see something different, okay? And the kids were young enough, you didn't want to let them go, so you're just, see this, Dad? See this, Dad? All over the place, okay? It was a little harrying. I felt a little anxious, but that's the idea, okay? Couple things. It says here, be careful for nothing. So that's not choosing anxiety. Why can you do that? Because one, your request is being sent to the greatest and most majestic and powerful being ever, your God. So if your request is being sent there, you don't have to be anxious. Secondly, you need to realize that He's big enough to take care of it. God is big enough to take care of it. If you don't believe your God is big, read Job 40 and 41. And listen to his description of Behemoth and Leviathan that he describes to Job. And then he says to Job, you know, you want to fight these guys? You want to tame these two monsters? No, you can't. Only I can, because I'm the all-powerful God. So realize that your request is going to the greatest and most majestic and powerful being, and also that He is big enough to solve your problems. God's got it. Okay? You know what our problem is? We think we have to help Him. We think we gotta do it, and we can't. We need to pray. So let's talk about this prayer. What's the idea here about the prayer? In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be known unto God. This is an interesting quote, but I like it. Warren Wiersbe said this, "Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything." It's interesting, too, because this word here, supplication, you know, we don't use that word, okay? Nobody since I've been in Elko has asked me to define that word to them or shared that word in a sentence with me, okay? So what does it mean here as we're looking at it? It means earnestness in your time and in your attitude, an earnest intensity, okay? You know, we get intense about a lot of things, okay? My wife is a Green Bay Packers fan. My son is a Minnesota Vikings fan. So on those Sundays, once a year when the Vikings and the Green Bay Packers play, you know, there's some earnest intensity, okay? I will say that the purple is learning not to get so intense because of years and years of defeat. But there is still an intensity there. And there's a hopefulness, okay? But what I'm saying there is, how about your prayer, folks? Is it with your heart in earnest, spiritual intensity asking your Savior? Or is it just, and God bless the missionaries. You know, the Loftuses at Red Cliff. You know, we're glad if you'll say that. And I'm not preaching to you specifically this morning on that. I'm preaching to myself too. We need to be intense. We need to be intense about talking with God. It needs to be a reality. Not just, you know, now I lay me down to sleep. I'm good, God. Are you? Great. Okay? Some of you are looking at me and you're just saying, why is he saying this? Well, do you do that sometimes? Yes, we all do. But we need to be intense. Right now, there's a prayer request that you can pray about. There's a judge in Pinedale, Wyoming, that has a case coming before the Supreme Court of Wyoming because she made a statement about same-sex marriage. And they want to, the judicial committee wants to take her judgeship away. You know what? I was in a meeting with a bunch of pastors in Wyoming. And, you know, some of it doesn't look real good because there's powers out there working to have that not work out for her. But you know what? The pastor sitting right next to me, he said, you know what? We need to pray right now. He said, we need to pray because none of us can do anything about it in this room. But our God can. And I love that reminder. I was like, you're right. We need to just go before his throne, and this is this cool. In the last 3 weeks, several things are happening to make that case known to the nation and also to those that can help shed the light of the fact that, yes, the Bible is true, the Word of God is true, and this is a person who believes in the Word of God that is being maligned. And so I'm just telling you, we need to pray with that intensity. And then it says with thanksgiving, appreciation, thank you. Okay? I was in a home yesterday, and there was a sign about gratitude on the wall. Okay? And all of us hate it when somebody's ungrateful. When we do something for somebody and they're ungrateful, we hate it. But you know what? God loves you even when you're ungrateful, but He calls you to be a person that shows appreciation and gratitude. Look at the verse. It says, be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication, that intensity, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Thank God. And as Warren Wiersbe said, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Okay? All right. That's three. I told you three. But I want to just give you the next one so you can think about them. In verse 7, it says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. My challenge to you is, who do you trust in, folks? Who do you trust in? Because God's peace is the antidote for any worry or anxiety. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. That word keep means to guard and guide. We have a brother here who's talking about military chaplains. When I was a Christian school teacher in Georgia, we would go practice soccer on a field at Fort Gillem. Okay? So every day I would drive the church bus with the soccer players to the fort. And I'd drive up to the gate, and the guy at the gate would say, "Hello, Mr. Loftus, let me see your ID." And I'd show him that ID, and it gave me permission to get through so the guard would wave the bus through. One day I left that ID hanging in my locker at the school, and I drove that bus with the soccer players. We drove up there to the gate. The same guard came out and said, "Hello, Mr. Loftus, how are you today?" I said, "I'm doing great. We're here to practice soccer." He said, "Your ID, sir? I don't have it here in the bus. It's probably back at the school." He said, "You know what, sir? You're going to have to back the bus up and go back to school. I can't let you on the fort." And I thought about that, and I thought about, you know me, can't we work this out? Can't you let the soccer players get off the bus and go to the field? It's right over there. No, he sent me back to school, get that idea. But you know what? That's the idea here of the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. God guards. And he doesn't let those things in because he keeps us. And then secondly, he guides. And how does he guide? Look at that, the end of that verse 7. It's awesome. Through Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus. So, Christian, rejoice this week. Let your moderation or your reasonableness be known to all. The Lord is at hand. Pray with supplication and thanksgiving and trust, because the Lord Jesus Christ is your guard and your guide. And as you are progressing through your week, and I'm done, I'm going to give you point number 5, and that's this. Think. Because verse 8 says, think on these things. So I'm going to give you a little study. You ready? Homework assignment. I don't know if pastor will make you accountable for it, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Homework assignment is this. Verse 8 says, think on these things. True, honest, just, pure, lovely, a good report. All those things talk about your God and talk about His Word. And you can find synonyms for each of those words regarding the Word of God and your God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you think this week, because He lives, you can think on those things that are going to cause rejoicing. Hey, let's pray. God, thank you for your Word. Thank you for the opportunity to look at it. I pray that you would just encourage hearts this week from your word. And Lord Jesus, thank you for being the word. John 1, word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And God, because you live, help us to live differently. Help us to rejoice. Help us to pray like we ought to. Help us to think and to be kept by your peace. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I know there's an invitation song. I'm going to ask our musicians to come and do that. And as they come and play that song, if God's spoken to your heart today, even in one of those areas, just one, will you decide that this week you'll make an effort to look in God's Word and to seek God's face in prayer so that you'll live differently because He lives? That's my challenge to you. As the pianist plays, thank you. God, we just thank you for your word. God, I pray that these believers here today, including myself, God, that all of us here would live this week in such a way that people would see that we believe that you're alive, that you're working in and through our lives for your glory. And we pray in your name. Amen. Pastor.